This program is sponsored by Dave Stahl.
It's time to take your place on the starting grid and get ready for Racer Radio. Your host, Dave Stahl, about to take you for a white-knuckled lap around the motorsports industry, covering everything from top-notch national drivers and crew chiefs right down to your local kid racers and racetracks. Watch for the apex, because here comes Racer Radio with Dave Stahl.
All right, folks, hey, welcome to Racer Radio. FM 96.1. AM 1170.
The answer.
I'm so excited to have Brittany in the house.
We've been chatting like two girls and haven't seen each other for a year.
I know. It's like we could do 6 hours. No problemo. Black Forest Motorsports sponsors this segment. You've got a Porsche, Mini, or BMW. 40 plus years experience. Great dealer alternative. Great prices. Great warranty. And just a great group of people. Go to blackforestautomotive.com. Blackforestautomotive.com. All right, young lady, crawling out from underneath your race car.
Literally.
That sounds like a fun Sunday to, you know.
Dave, it's harder to get up these days.
You think?
I get down there and I just do everything that's down there while I can.
Do you have a creeper?
No, it's too low. No.
Can't you put it up on?
I could, but I don't. I just push myself around.
Well, good thing you're not overweight.
Yeah, I can fit.
You could fit. Hey, have we got our special guest on the line?
Very special.
Yeah, I got a thumbs up from Mr. Happy.
Oh, I'm so glad.
All right. Who we got?
Well, I want to say I'm so glad that his industry has survived COVID, the COVID shutdown, because I'm sure I mean, there's so many stakeholders, from racers, crew members, fans, fabricators, families, and man, they're putting on a good show. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
It's crazy what they're putting on right now. So please welcome editor-in-chief of Racer X and president of Motocross Sports, Mr. Davey Coombs.
Hey, Mr. Coombs, how are you today, sir?
Great. I actually just got back from a local race back here on the East Coast, and everything's up and running.
Busy. That's man.
Fantastic.
Busy man.
Well, I just had, it's called Cal VMX, Vintage Motocross Riders, out here in San Diego. They race at Barona Oaks. So I had some of the most beautiful vintage motocross bikes on the patio this morning. So I was thinking of you.
Oh, right on. Well, I know my friend Scott Burnworth does a great job of keeping the soul of motocross going in that whole El Cajon, San Diego area.
Yep. He was on.
Yeah. He's running the show.
We had him on radio last week. Actually, he was in studio last week. Yeah, he's a promoter, and that's what we need in this sport. And not just this sport, almost any motorsport sport. We need somebody like Scott just to keep it alive and well.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, he comes from it. He's been his whole life at the front of the pack, basically. And I hope that I look like him when I'm his age, and I am his age.
I know. God, I realized how old he was, and I went, ooh.
He's looking really good. Yeah. Especially after, isn't he the one that broke his collarbone 5 times?
Oh, something like that.
Oh, like Faulkner. Why does he keep doing that?
They probably just put a hinge on it.
Yeah.
So what have you been up to?
Well, we're winding down Supercross. I was hoping that I was going to be able to bring Jet Lawrence along with me on this call for Brittany, but he, I think, is still celebrating winning that Supercross championship last night. And I don't know if you follow Jetson18 on Instagram, but they look like they had a lot of fun, him and Team Honda, after the big race in Foxborough. But we'll try and get him whenever we come out for the start of the pro motocross season, which, of course, is May 28th, right there at Fox Raceway at Palo.
That's awesome. I have goosebumps because I got up this morning and had my coffee and watched that race yesterday afternoon's race. Oh!
Well, I can tell you what I could do. I'll have Brittany send you my email, and let me look at my calendar, and maybe if you've got my TV segments are like at 6 or 7 in the morning, I know it'd be a little bit of a drive, but come down, put your bikes on. It's good for sponsors. It's the number one watch morning show in San Diego, and happy to do it.
Well, I appreciate the offer, and I will mention that to
at least look at your schedule. Look at your schedule, and then we can communicate via email, And, you know, and make, and if it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But I just wanted to offer it because you people, you get a lot of exposure if you're on that little station of ours. So
well, perfect. Thank you so much.
All right.
Thank you for such a good show. I want to go on record and say I'm so excited about how the 250 class ended yesterday because I'm a big fan of Jet. But I also am a big fan of Faulkner, and they came in 1-2. First, he got the win, and then Jet came in second but got the championship.
Oh, okay.
That was like perfect. I think I spilt my coffee all over me. Steve hates it when I do this because I scream and then someone falls or crashes like, ah! Like that. And he's like, why do you scream? Our neighbors are going to think I'm doing something to you. But I get so involved and he has such bad luck.
Jesse, she does it in the studio,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I do.
I mean, she scared the you-know-what out of me at least two or three times.
Faulkner keeps, oh, if he didn't have bad luck, yeah, I wouldn't have luck at all. God.
Easy kid.
Oh, my gosh. He rides a Kawasaki.
Yeah, see, I'm a Honda guy.
Well, there's Jet Lawrence for you. And then Hunter Lawrence, his brother, is holding his own, too. What a family. Goodness.
Yeah, I think that this is the first time in history that two brothers won 250 Supercross races in the same season, and they actually did it back-to-back-to-back-to-back.
Oh, my gosh.
As the series goes East Coast or West Coast, you know, Hunter's winning in the West. He's not going to win the title, but he is winning races. And then Jet, of course, is the top guy in the East. And Brittany, I'm with you on Austin Faulkner. When he crashed in that heat race, I thought he was done all over again.
Oh, yeah. I thought he hurt his collarbone, but it was his shoulder. Or no, his ribs or something. Or,
he bounced back, thankfully.
Yes. I was too.
He ran again?
Oh, yeah, he gets up and just keeps going.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah. I was too exhausted after watching the 250 this morning. I didn't even watch the 450. Don't tell me the results. Like, I didn't. I was like, oh, I'm so exhausted after watching the heat races. Yeah, and then I watched the main and the 250, and I was like, I got to get out to the car to work on my car. And I was just too exhausted. I was literally exhausted. There were too many highs and lows for me.
See, now there's a reason, Jesse. Don't you agree, Jesse? There's the reason.
Jesse.
If you don't. If you're not even a motorcycle enthusiast, but I don't think you get a better show until you watch that series. Did I lose you?
He disagrees.
Oh.
No, I'm just kidding.
No,
did you fall asleep?
I thought you were talking to Jesse. I'm Davey.
I know. He's Davey. You said Jesse. I was like, Davey. It's Davey. Davey, yeah.
Oh, Davey. Why did I put Jesse?
I don't know why I did.
I even wrote it down. All right, Davey.
Jesse.
Sorry about that.
But that's okay. The whole series has been wonderful. You know, there's been a real turnaround for, you know, what's weird is we had three guys switch teams at the beginning of the year.
Oh, yeah.
Eli Tomac, Jason Anderson, and Malcolm Stewart, and they're literally the top three guys.
Yeah, they're all doing great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a perfect model when change is good.
Yeah.
And I think that they had all just gotten a little stale.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I wonder if mindset has a lot to do with that.
I'm sure it does, and you know, you can be around someone and they can motivate you for years. But I mean, it happens in football. Look at Tom Brady.
Yeah,
it happens in every sport. But we all thought it was time to maybe put a fork in Eli Tomac last year because he just wasn't the same, and then he shocked everyone. Switched teams, and I think he's the favorite for the outdoors as well.
Oh, right. Mm. Yeah, the mental aspect. We had a BMX racer, pro, in here a couple weeks ago, Tyler Brown, and he actually started out in motocross, and he knows Christian Craig. And in the green room, he just casually dropped, yeah, and his mental coach. And I was like, please tell me more, because I like that aspect. You know, and I was, if we'd gotten Jet on, I was thinking I wanted to ask, every time you crash in turn one at the beginning of your heat, you know, like, oh, that boy keeps crashing at the beginning. And then working his way up, I wanted to know, what were you telling yourself? Were you mad at yourself to motivate yourself? Were you calm and cool and collective? And then just this morning when I was watching the Supercross from yesterday afternoon, the story was he watches professional golf and likes to kind of study how those golfers react when they're under pressure. And I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, and he is an avid golfer. He and everyone in his family and all the people around him. But, you know, the kid, you know, he's Travis Pastrana with, like, more competitiveness. And by that,
more?
I mean, He doesn't want to go out and do, you know, freestyle motocross or rally cars, or he just wants to focus on being the best motocrosser and supercrosser he can be. But he's also got that star quality, that sort of it factor, and he rides with so much confidence. But you're right, he seems to crash every time in the heat race and not win his heat race or come from dead last to win. And then he just completely erases it and is able to go take care of business in the main event.
Yeah,
that's hard to believe.
There were some stats posted recently, I think on Facebook, and it was like win, starts, wins, da-da-da-da. And people were like, where are the number of passes Jet has? Because he keeps putting himself in the back and then passing so many to get and win and in the top, you know, back on the podium. That would be a nice stat.
Yeah, he's been a pleasure to watch, a pleasure to work with. And, you know, now he's got both the AMA Supercross and the AMA 250 Pro Motocross Championship. And, man, he's still 18.
I know.
Which is mind-boggling. That's like Ron Lachine-level numbers from back in the 80s.
All right, Davey, I got that one right. Yeah, could you believe it? 15 minutes up.
Oh, look at all of my stuff I wanted to talk to Davey
about. Well, I know. Well,
thank you so much. I know you're such a busy man.
And we were lucky to pull 15 out of you.
I know.
But I will throw this at you. I don't know if you're just sitting on the couch or doing whatever. But if you want to call back at 3:45, we're more than happy to give you the last 15.
Well, I would be glad to. We have a lot to talk about with motocross getting ready to start, so I will check back in with you guys.
Excellent. Awesome. Right. That's Davey Combs, folks. Make sure you tune in at 3:45. Wait a minute. How could you're listening now. Just leave it alone.
Yeah. Where are you going?
I don't know. Take a break. FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
Hey, folks. This is Racer Radio / music. Brittany's Music Hour.
Brittany's Brendan.
Wouldn't that be a good show?
Well, listen in on Mother's Day. I might be going that angle.
That's right. Yeah, because it's your hour.
Yeah,
do whatever you
I'm
want.
I'm musician turned racer.
Maybe a half and half.
Yeah.
Anyway. Well, hey, this segment is brought to you by El Cajon Ford, where absolutely nobody treats you better. In fact, they were out taking care of the rodeo.
I was thinking the same thing. Yep. I saw that flag go by a bunch.
He's a cowboy, if there ever was a cowboy. New or used, El Cajon Ford. He also races at Barona, so you got to come check him out. And he supports Barona like nobody's business. All right, Dirt Dude's on the line. What's up, brother?
Not much. What's up?
Hi.
You know, we're just sitting here having ourselves a gay old time, you know, like we always do. What?
Did you see the post from Paul's wife?
No.
Yes, I couldn't tell if it's like either a mini an MG, like an early, like 78. I guess he picked one up and they went out for a ride. It was like a little red. I couldn't tell if it was like, you know, the Datsun had the Sunbeam.
Yeah.
And the MG was kind of the same.
Like, oh, so this was probably a trade-in.
I'm not sure what it was.
He doesn't. Like, he's not going to go buy an import. $20 says it was a trade-in, and he told his wife, "Goes, hey, this could be a lot of fun. Let's take this."
Yeah, well, if you have the ability, exactly.
It's not like
she's probably smiling even bigger now.
It's totally cool car, like little convertible. You know, I guess they took the top down and went for a ride.
That's awesome.
It was super fun. The only thing is, it's so old it doesn't have seat belts.
Oh, that is.
Our Galaxy's like that. Steve and I keep going back and forth.
That's not a trade-in. That's not a trade-in, man. That's funny.
I'm not sure if it's someone else's that he picked up or just got the chance to drive it. So, yeah.
How cool was that?
I was wondering about, you were talking about the Lawrence brothers. I think it's the best thing they did is they weren't they're in the same class, but they weren't fighting for the same territory.
I know, one was east and one's west.
Yes, if they would have been in both, like either in the east or the west, they would have been hard for either one of them. But, I mean, to have them both in each series, then they race each other for the final, but they can be one in the east and one in the west could be champion.
And he goes, when he got that number one plate, he said, you know, I think my brother deserves it just as much, you know. That's awesome. It sounds like they have a good relationship.
They ought to make a rule that siblings can't race in the same series.
Well, one's east, one west. No, why? Hey, figure it out at the dinner table.
Oh.
It's a competitive sport.
We've had a lot of that at the track.
Yeah.
We've had a lot of that at the track.
Yeah. So, Dirt Dude, I did warn you because I'm honestly looking for an education here regarding a car being claimed. Is that like every race? Do you have to say it before the race?
Just
is it a specific division?
Go A to Z.
Yeah. Well,
if somebody decides they want to claim your car, what's the process?
See, each division is kind of different. And then there could be, you could do shot claimers, you can do motor claimers, you can do car claimer. But like in an IMCA modified, they don't do car claimer, they do motor and shock. So you can either do a shock claimer or a motor claimer.
Are you saying shock, like suspension shock?
Okay, so now explain to them, why would somebody want to look at my shocks?
Because you could have like an illegal motor if you're running like a crate motor supposedly is sealed and there's no really claimer on a crate. But if you run an open comp motor, you can claim that motor. And I can't remember what the price is. I think it's like $1,000 or $1,500.
Right.
But the motor is worth $10,000.
Right.
No.
So, I mean, you could lose out.
What?
But correct me if I'm wrong. Well, let's just pick the engine. Okay. So I spend the $1,500. They tear the motor down. And the motor's illegal. Do I get my $1,500 back? Yes.
If you're doing a protest on it, that's different. That's a protest.
Right.
Like if you're protesting, but you're doing a claimer, you're buying that. You are taking that for that price. That's the claimer. But a protest is like, hey, I think that car is not legal. So you put up the money for a protest. And if it's legal, you...
You
lose your money.
You would have to pay it. Yeah, that makes sense.
It goes to the first protest team. But if you protest a car and you find it illegal, you get the money back and they are fined.
Well, I need to go back to claiming a motor. So if I want to claim your motor, why would I do that? There's no benefit.
That's what I want to ask. Go ahead.
So what would I gain?
There's a benefit to it. Like if you wanted a motor, you can claim a motor. I know this is leading up to is I saw someone had posted this weekend in a sport compact that they were claiming the car.
I wasn't gonna say who, but they're heartbroken and so I'm wondering like two big things. Is there a stigma of cheating that's always attached?
That is a bad deal. I mean, they're taking a car from a kid that is just learning this whole racing thing. But the thing is, that is following the rules. You can be like, I put up the money. I want that car. That's part of the rule package.
But you only get the car if he's illegal.
No, you get the car if you're claiming it. If you are claiming that you want that car, which all of them are supposed to be that way. You can claim to buy a car for a certain amount, and then that is.
No. If I go to Brittany's house, or I see her at the track.
Don't you have to win? Like, I don't have a problem with
Well,
this.
Let's say,
okay.
Do you have to win?
Do you have to win? For this rule to work,
anytime you're watching an IMCA race at our track, the top five stop on the front straightaway after the checkered flag is flown.
Okay.
You know, that's why? That's when you protest or do a claimer right there. You have the top five cars are allowed to protest or allowed to claim. That's it. After that, you go back to your pits and you're done. You do not come back and do, I'm like, oh, I changed my mind. I want to do a claimer. Or I changed my mind. I want to protest that car.
So only on the track. Only on the track.
On the track. So I think if someone says that they protested that car or claimed that car, they have to do it that night on that main event.
Okay.
They can't come back a week later and be like, hey, we're gonna claim your car.
Makes good sense.
Okay. It doesn't work that way.
But I'm still confused. Okay, so I'm going on the first five cars, whatever the case may be, I can claim any one of those cars. And if I say $500, or is there a limit? Because if the car's worth 10...
A minimum. Is there a minimum?
I mean, is there a minimum?
There is a minimum. There is a minimum, and it's whatever the IMCA is for that class. Like, it's different for...
Okay, so if it's a $10,000 car...
For motors.
Right, but if it's a $10,000 class, we'll just call it that for a general cost of that car, then you're going to have to... Your claiming is going to have to be kind of close to the price of a replacement.
They set the limit on that, yeah. So they actually have like a $2,000 limit for a claimer, but the car could be worth more than that.
Oh yeah.
So they try and keep it where so that's the whole reason is people can claim your car, so you don't go put $10,000 in your car. for a stock class that, you know, someone can claim for two grand.
Okay, that makes
so
sense.
So it's like, beware. If I think you put $10,000 of suspension components in that car.
Which must be why you can't go to the pits or, you know, afterwards.
Or you'll take everything off.
Yeah. Is it
so this whole thing started with claimer motors being like the open comp motors and modified. People would be like, you can claim a motor for $2,000, but people would be like, I've got $15,000 in my motor, and someone's going to get it for $2,000. Well, you're the person that opted to put $1,500 in there or $15,000 in there for a $2,000 price.
Wow. You
want to win. How much do you want to win? How bad do you want to, like, not cheating, because open comp motors, you can run as long as it's with the rules, a cast iron block, cast iron heads, and an intake, cast iron intake. I mean, no aluminum other than valve covers.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you're in that range, but you can run a stroker motor, you can do, like, a lot of porting and tuning and stuff like that. And that's what they went to when they did a sealed motor. You can't touch that motor.
Right.
It comes from a factory.
Which is where it should be.
All you can do is do a valve adjustment.
Yeah, it's where it should be.
I'm so conflicted because I totally understand that. And I like the leveling of the field.
Me too.
But I, as I imagine this family and others, like I know Robert Peters, we're very attached to our cars. You know, even if it's not worth a lot, you know. They are, but
that's why dwarf
the
cars
sentimentals
never went that way. Yeah. There's no IMCA class for dwarf cars.
Oh, it's, so that's
but if you went,
solely an
if
IMCA.
You went the other way.
Ooh, that,
but if you went the other way, like Legends, they did, like, you had to run a Kawasaki 1200 sealed motor.
Right.
Yeah. Just the sentimental value is not part of that.
And then you're gonna go out. Then you're gonna go out on the track and race this person.
Right. Yeah.
Hello.
Hey, you want my car? Yeah. How's this?
Yeah.
Put it right.
Right,
yeah. Let me put. And how do you keep from doing that?
I know, consciously or unconsciously, there's some sort of like stigma attached, attached.
I got one last question before Brittany starts crying.
Crying.
So if that somebody claims my car,
I'm not crying. You're crying.
Do I have any recourse for it not to happen or no?
Yes, you can actually refuse the car. The call on the car.
Oh.
You can refuse it. Be like, hey, I'm not giving you my car.
Right.
But you lose points. You lose the ability to race.
Yeah, for like a year or something.
Yeah.
Well, you weren't.
You
know what?
But I won't want to. Yeah.
Hate to say it.
I don't want
to
be there.
Hate to see it. But I don't want to be there.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. Thank you. I
that was very good. That was
interested.
That's one of the best
knowing.
Shows you've done.
Thanks,
because we educated the masses.
Include, yeah.
It's all on the IMCA. Like if you,
I have to read.
No, we don't want to read. Does it sound like we want to read?
You're supposed to know all this.
No, I'm not IMCA.
No. We're not IMCA. Hey. That's why we do radio.
Homework. I give homework.
See, this is why we do radio, because we get you to talk.
Yeah,
you did it, so now you've screwed up. What do you see the next 12 rules we're going to ask you about?
No, I gave him a heads up on this, too, because I wanted to know.
Yeah.
So real quick, I don't know if you guys saw any footage from last night's destruction, Night of Destruction. There was an in-car camera when they had a rollover from that Suburban got hit.
Oh.
Like, right in the back, perfect. Pit maneuver, rolled this Suburban over, didn't have a cage. You see the top kind of crushing in. Ooh. This is from another car behind them. So, I mean, this is like the second one I've seen. Like, there was another one from another back east race. Car flipping down the front straightaway.
Oh, I saw that one.
Yeah, I seen that one. I didn't see the one.
The lady's like looking down into turn one, and then she finally looks over after the car stops, like, oh, wow, there's a crash behind me.
Yeah. Oh,
like,
my
God. You're paying attention, huh?
Epic.
Jesus. All right, buddy. We'll see you next weekend.
Hey, next race is the 30th. IMC Mods, Sport Compacts, Hobby Stocks, Pure Stocks, Dwarf Cars, Southwest Lightning Sprints, our Minis and our Juniors. Gates open too. Racing starts at 6-ish.
All right. Talk to you later, buddy. Have a good weekend.
All right. See ya.
Bye. See you next weekend.
This is FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
All right, folks. Welcome back to Racer Radio, FM 96.1. AM 1170.
The Answer.
All right. This thing is brought to you by Paris Auto Speedway. Man, I tell you, if you haven't been to Paris Auto Speedway, you have truly been missing it. Jump in your car, take a run up the 15 to the 215, and boom, you are there. 18700 Lake Paris Road in Paris, California. Go to parisautospeedway.com for all the information. Hey, we've got a very special guest from Paris Auto Speedway. Anybody's name that starts off with Showtime. Danny Sheridan. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well. How you doing?
Well, you know, you opened the door. Where did you get the title of Showtime?
You know, when we were racing younger, it was, I'm trying to think what it was. I want to say it was the California Kid is what it was. And I just got older, and then we were back in Indiana, and we won the Jerry World Classic, and it was a last lap pass for the win.
Wow.
And the announcer automatically said, it's showtime, and it stuck from there. And it seemed a little bit better because I wasn't a kid anymore, so I had to get something different.
Right.
No, I love it. And there's always a good story behind, you know, somebody's moniker like that. So that's pretty cool. So
yeah, it was a good one.
Yeah, I know. So you're out of the car. I'm sure you're still involved some way, somehow.
Yeah, you know, I've got my kids. We've got go-karts now, and
there you go.
With that, we've always had dirt bikes. We've done that whole thing, and then when I got out of it, I was done. My oldest boy, I promised him when he got into sports that I was going to kind of put mine to the side. And
good dad.
It's just the travel. Yeah, I guess. The traveling was just so much. I mean, to be able to race locally is one thing, but
right.
Get on the road and be gone and come back, it was just a time to step out of it. So I stepped out of it and tried to do a little bit. I worked with another guy on doing some driving coach stuff, and that didn't go over well at all. That's like trying to become a recovering alcoholic and sitting at the bar taking your drunk friend's home. That just doesn't work.
No. Where are you based at?
I'm in Santa Maria, so I'm about an hour north of Santa Barbara.
Beautiful. Oh, okay. Ooh, that track up there.
Yeah, it's a nice little area. So yeah. We've got a great dirt track here, but it's closed. Well, it's closed down now.
We talked to
Well,
them.
See, I just, we're working. I don't know if you ever heard of Barona Oaks.
Yes.
Well, they're having
the Barona.
Yeah, well, Barona Oaks
right
is just
street.
Up the street from it on the right, and they're having a vintage motocross event for a couple of days. So, you know,
nice.
Yeah. So if you got nothing to do, well, of course, you probably are thinking about vintage. I mean, I don't know how old you are, but the guys that I had them on TV this morning, they were driving Osas, the Bull Tacos. Yeah. So, I mean,
yeah.
And it was just a fun, you know, a guy by the name of Scott Burnsmith?
Burnworth.
Do you know the name?
Yeah. Well, he's putting the event on. It's motorcycles. I know we're talking circle, but I'm sure you still have that
two wheels, four wheels.
Well,
there's
teeny bit
involved.
Of need to speed.
It's all there. That's kind of where mine got going. I started riding dirt bikes at a real young age, and went from riding those and racing those to flat tracking quads, and then I had a pretty bad accident where I ripped my knee all apart, and kind of at that time, my mom said that if you're going to keep racing, it's going to be in a cage.
Yes.
And I don't think she really thought we were going to go to sprint cars.
I know.
That's where the road took us.
With several wins, I hear,
and you took it with the least amount of cage.
Right.
I mean, at least in a car, you got a roof and panels and doors and hoods.
Well, it's one of those things. If your parents tell you you got to go this way, you got to find the worst scenario to make it happen.
But mom, you said.
I know. Say, by the way, do not play this show for your boys because you don't.
They'll use it against you.
They have a
exactly.
They have a snap memory. Let me tell you.
They remember what they want.
Yep. Yeah. So you're still going to the track, except it's just. What do you have? Two boys.
Yes, two boys and a girl.
Okay. And
what's
just,
she doing?
Yeah, so
what's the daughter doing in the dirt?
She's quite the little daredevil. She wants to see if she can outdo her brothers all the time.
And
she does a pretty good job of beating herself up. And we just had a pretty good crash a couple months ago. She went to get in the shower afterwards, and she goes, "Dad, because I need to get a pink dirt bike now." And I thought, "Oh, great! This is not what I wanted to hear out of you. I wanted you to do something different."
Yeah.
A car
after
a sprint car.
So after a crash, after a crash, she's injured, and that's her next thought.
I like it. I like the way she rolls.
Exactly.
Hey, my mentor just called me. I guess you're racing this Saturday.
Yeah, you know.
I thought we were out of the car. Didn't we have
comeback?
Oh, he's making. Oh, I'm sorry.
Come back this year. I saw that.
I bumped my head, Scott. I guess. I don't.
No, I feel way. I feel better about you now than I did before. I'm thrilled you're back in the seat.
Well, Robbie and Gay Allen over in Arizona. I've driven off and on for them a little bit here and a little bit there. I ran Chili Bowl for them. I ran some digits with them.
Wow.
Chili Bowl.
Yeah.
You just put it in perspective for the listeners. Yeah, yeah.
So we were talking the other day, and I was joking with him. I said that we need to go back and run Chili Bowl again. Well, he sold all his midget stuff, and I said, "Well, I said there's only one way to get a midget again. That's to buy another one." So we went back and forth, and
what
we
a joke
the whole time that he hasn't won Paris yet. So I'm hoping that maybe if I can win Paris for him, we can get a chance to put a midget together and go back to Chili Bowl with him.
I like the way you joke.
Yeah,
I bet that was 1% joke and 99% planned.
I've seen selling techniques before.
Well, I think he's listening to it as well, so I'm just kind of putting that plug in
there. Okay, so what did you say you were going to do for him? Win at Paris? Is that what you want to say that
again?
Wait
a minute. You didn't hear what he just said.
Win Paris, and then we start looking for midget.
Yep.
So why do you suppose, Brittany, he's calling in today? Because what's he going to do Saturday?
Oh, he's going to win.
And what happens when people are, you're going to think this is BS, but tell them 90, 95.
Not a big percent of callers win soon after calling in with an interview.
Yeah, usually within one or two races.
It happened within 4 days of the BMX gentleman we had in 2 weeks ago. He was in on Sunday and won on Wednesday.
So if it works, you're more than welcome to call us the Sunday prior to your next race if it works.
In fact, how about we do this? If we go out and we win it, I'll call you with tickets for Chili Bowl.
Oh,
my heart just stopped.
I love it.
Well,
I'm
not a reactionary kind of guy, but I'm not going to say no.
My gosh. I love
that's
his
a
family.
That's
I love
a
his
dream.
Daughter. I love his enthusiasm, optimism, his joking, quote.
That is a true dream come true, let me tell you.
Do we have a number or not?
Yeah, what number is your car?
Who are we rooting for here?
I'm the number 12 car. Number 12.
Okay. What color?
It's a kind of a funny story. When I got out of racing, we were done, and I played just a little bit here and there, and I just took a hiatus, and I got a phone call from another car owner down south, and he asked me to run for him, so I kind of came out of retirement. We ran a show on a Friday night, and then we went to Paris on Saturday night, and we won Saturday night in Paris out of a retirement deal. So when Robbie called me back, and we were going back and forth over this, I said, let's see if we can't do this thing again. So we did it. We ran it the last Paris race, and we had pretty good luck. I had to get some of the dust knocked off of me and try to figure out my points, and he got the car going pretty well right there at the end for us, and we took some notes, and hopefully we'll be able to apply those things this time and be better right out of the chute.
Who's paying the bills? Who's your sponsors?
Robbie and Gay Allen out of Arizona. They're
what?
The car owners.
Wow.
On this, so.
But you don't have any sponsors on the side of the car?
He owned ABC Body Shop, which is his pride and joy out in Arizona, and he just recently sold that. They kept all the employees, did the whole thing, but he's on a semi, I don't know if you want to call it retired hiatus.
Okay.
Living the dream life.
Yeah.
He's got all his investment properties, and he's got all his toys, and
he said,
hopefully we'll have a midget here pretty soon too.
Oh, he put it out there again.
I mean, let me tell you.
It's out there.
Yeah, it is.
Well,
if you don't
showtime,
put it out there, well,
it
that's why it's
there.
Showtime.
I love it.
That is so much
I love the energy, the mindset.
So
you got
what's
this.
The transition been like coming back, getting back in?
You fit in your suit?
You know,
Did you hear what she just said?
No, what was it?
Do you fit in your suit?
I'm sorry. I was out for 2 years, and I was so happy.
That's a fair question. I was scared to death. So I went on this strict diet. I tried to cut everything out. I did this. I did that. I was exercising. I was going to the gym. Everything I could. And I came home one day at lunch when no one was home, because I didn't want to try my suit on in front of everybody else. Because it didn't fit. I could just hear my kids.
Yeah. Point
run
now,
their mouth
thanks.
About it. So, so I came home at lunch and I put it on. And as I zipped it up, I thought, I kind of exhaled a little bit because I had it all sucked in.
I'll be
That's
good.
Your first win right there.
Fit. Yeah. No, everything fit well. And I was actually back down to the same weight I was when I was racing. So it's worked out. Now I just got to try to keep the weight off.
Yeah. Well, see, I'd rather use a driving suit to weigh myself versus a scale.
Yeah.
So much nicer. Yeah.
Well, the driving suit doesn't tell you the proportions as much as it would be if you got on a scale. Well, I tell you
it's
what, buddy,
fantastic.
This has been an awesome segment. Really appreciate you putting a smile on our
face. Thank you, Scott, for hooking us up.
Yeah, and good luck next Saturday.
Thanks,
and like
too.
I said, if you win, you're more than welcome to call the next time, and we'll see you at the Super
Kudos
or the
to
Chili
Robbie
Bowl.
Allen too. I like this.
By the way, hey, how
give a shout out of there.
Go ahead.
I appreciate it all, and thanks for Harris making this happen with Scott and you guys right. doing the whole thing, and I look forward to calling in here and
sure.
maybe next week and see if we can do this again.
Yeah. Sounds like a plan. Also, how do people follow you around on that silly social media?
I'm on Facebook under Danny Sheridan. I don't know how to use all the other stuff. My kids do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, ask your kids.
I'm lost on it. If I can get my phone on, I'm doing a good job.
All right. Yeah, there you go. You're halfway there. All right, buddy. You have a great rest of your weekend.
You guys do the same.
All right.
We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Racer Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
All right, folks, welcome back to Racer Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
The segment is brought to you by Certified Car Clinic. Certified Car Clinic at CertifiedCarCare.net. Do all your automotive needs. Check them out. Go to CertifiedCarCare.net. All right.
Oh, he's back. Is Davey back? Is Mr. Coombs back?
All right, so
I've been told on the horizon.
I've been told to be quiet.
No,
and Brittany's going to take over.
Anywho, in the next 10 minutes, I would love to hear what's on the horizon. You got stuff coming up, and some of it's close to us and our listeners.
Yeah, absolutely. The 50th year of Lucas Oil Pro Motocross will start on May 28th, right up the road there at Pala at Fox Raceway. And all season long, we're going to be, you know, looking back at the history of the sport, which, you know, obviously goes before 1972, but that was the first year that they had a standalone AMA Pro Motocross Championship. We really probably should have celebrated it last year, but with COVID, so we decided to take the route that we took in 1976, whenever the bicentennial was celebrated. It was actually the 201st year.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, no one noticed, so we're good.
Till now.
That's perfectly okay.
And what's this about some 9-time world champion possibly coming back?
Yeah, we've got some really good news this week. Antonio Cairoli is the greatest Italian motocross racer ever. And if it wasn't for Valentino Rossi, he might be the greatest Italian racer ever.
He's a definite GOAT.
But he retired from full-time racing last year after, you know, finishing third in the FIM World Championships, and decided that he wanted to do, you know, some different kind of racing. He wanted to check out maybe some international supercross, maybe some something like the Erzberg Rodeo, which Red Bull puts on and off. But then as things started shaping up, he really got the idea that he wanted to come and race in America. He's been here before. I think he won a GP at Glen Helen. He won a GP in Charlotte, North Carolina, I believe. And he's also raced the Des Nations here a few times. But he's decided that he's going to, you know, come and go, you know, full stop and try and win himself a pro motocross race, and maybe even, you know, if things work out good in the beginning, stay for the whole season.
Wow. So, all that takes is money.
And he's got some, but the situation with Red Bull KTM right now is Marvin Musquin is Supercross only, and they've had Aaron Plessinger's been injured, and right now Cooper Webb is kind of in a situation like Ken Roczen, where, you know, he's trying to get himself sorted out. He's not really been the same this year.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he added all up, and KTM turned to Cairoli and said, "Hey Tony, what do you think?" And he's coming. So everyone's really excited about that. We haven't had a rider of that caliber leave the world championship and come here since Ken Roczen 10 years ago.
Wow.
So it's very exciting.
You think he's going to give Tomac a run for the money?
I think he can give anybody a run for the money. He retired healthy in a relatively young 35 years old, meaning he didn't have a lot of, you know, injuries and whatnot during his career. So, and he still wanted to race. He just didn't want to do the same thing for the 20th year in a row.
Yeah, yeah.
And I certainly respect that. Like we were talking earlier, sometimes change is really good.
You never know, because it depends on his mindset. Because he was building his career before. Now he's not building anymore. He doesn't. And maybe in his mind he wants to do more, but he's already got to that one plateau. Now he can maybe enjoy it.
Yeah, absolutely. And maybe that's the thing that will motivate him. The idea for someone on the backside of their career to, you know, pick off an AMA national championship, that just doesn't happen. And the other thing that's funny is we're in a situation, and like I said, it's the 50th year, but this will be the first time ever that both of the defending champions are not Americans. Jet, obviously, is from Australia.
Yeah.
And then Dylan Ferrandis is our 450 champion, and he's from France. And, that's never happened before. And to have with Hunter Lawrence picking it up, and of course, Joe Shimoto from Japan is going to be a contender in the 250 class. And then, you know, Ferrandis, he hasn't had a great Supercross season, but he is literally pulled out of Supercross to focus on getting ready to defend his number one plate. So it's going to be tough going for the Americans this summer as well.
Well, and you know what? I don't want to be a negative Nelly.
Don't be a negative Nelly, Dave.
But I'm kind of glad it's happening.
What?
That the Americans have finally got some serious competition.
Got it.
And maybe they need to move up just one more notch. You don't know. But the benefit to all of this are the fans.
Yeah, I bet it rots a good racing.
And, you know, we've done what Formula One's been trying to do since its inception, and that's get both countries excited and just constantly either go or watch. Don't you kind of agree?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the if anyone won during COVID, it was Formula One. With their drive to survive, you know, that turned out to be a viral hit. And, you know, if you look at the F1 race at COTA last year, that was the arrival moment for Formula One in America. And there's no Americans in that series. It was just,
that's my point. So we need to get more Americans in F1, but the only problem is it's so stupid expensive. You know, I mean, it's got to be somebody like
you're born into it. Almost.
Yeah, you got to, or you have all the money. You got to have the money and sponsors, but that's just another story. So I think now the season is it's now over that season.
You're talking Supercross?
Yeah, back to Supercross.
Not quite, right?
There's two more races to go. They're going to race in Denver this Saturday night, and then they're going to finish up at Salt Lake City on May 7th, and then we have 3 weeks before Pro Motocross starts.
Okay, but the championships have already been decided.
Well, no, it's just Jet was so far ahead.
Yeah.
He was so.
I'm not going to tell you because Brittany hasn't won.
Yeah, thank you.
The 450
thank
race
you.
Yet.
You
oh,
have
I'm sorry.
Such a good
oh, what
memory,
was I going to say?
But it's not over. It seems like it because Jet won, but it was because nobody could catch him.
But I mean, basically, the championship in both 450 and 250 have been decided.
I'll plug my ears.
I just said decided. I'm not.
I took my headphones off, Davey.
Well, you know, a San Diego kid, Christian Craig, is probably going to win the 250 West this weekend.
Okay.
And then, unless something really strange happens, Eli Tomac will.
Okay, they're back on.
He may already be champion.
Yeah.
It's hard to tell with Brittany.
Well, funny as it is, that was the question I asked. I didn't want to know who. I just wanted to know
I would have known
No.
If he said the 450s were decided.
No, if he says 450, I don't want to know who it is.
Anyway.
I'm just saying, has it been finalized and has 250? Or do these next couple races going to have any impact one way or the other?
I think that the 250 East-West shootout in Salt Lake City, which will be Christian Craig against Jet Lawrence and Hunter Lawrence and all these other guys, and Austin Faulkner, that will be incredibly exciting.
Yeah, that's going to be good stuff.
But no matter what happened last night, it's a fait accompli that Eli Tomac will ultimately be the Supercross champ.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to be able to figure that one out, Dave.
You think?
Yes.
I don't need a pencil.
So is the motocross, is it physically more demanding? I would imagine it's a longer race or not?
It is. It's a longer, faster, rougher race. But Supercross, those guys have to be so precise.
All the time.
I truly think, I think Supercross is more mentally fatiguing because, you know, you can't go as fast as you want to go because it's too fast.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like landing in a teacup and then jumping right back out and then landing in another teacup.
Yes.
And so I think that the injury rate has been unfortunate this year. But outdoors, yeah, it's more grueling, more grinding, and equally exciting. Just, you know, you're not on a small stadium track, you're on a big outdoor track.
Right. Is it more spread out because it's a bigger, so Forkner's going to have less mid-air collisions? Can we just put that out there? I'm doing that for you, Forkner.
That would be the hope, but you also have twice as many riders.
Oh, so it's still a dense field. Oh, twice as many. Got it. Oh, you've been wonderful, Davey. I know you're so busy, and
website?
I really appreciate it.
Or a website or a link to stay on top of this?
www.promotocross.com.
You can call back anytime you like, so we can get everybody excited and ready for the final here and the upcoming race just down the street. Thanks, buddy. We'll talk to you later.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, folks. This is FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.